Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Three Under Par podcast. This is a golf podcast where...
Little White Ball's life.
I'm your host, Scotty T, and in the other box is my co-host, T-Bone. T-Bone, how are you doing, my friend?
Not too bad. It's been a minute, but people have been asking where we've been, but we're back. And it's a great week. Great week to cover golf.
I mean, just what a phenomenal week for the PGA Tour, right? I mean, I really don't think that it could have gone any better if you're the PGA Tour. Scottie Scheffler comes out on top, winning the Players' Championship. Just what a show, the whole thing, the lip out on 18 by Wyndham. Scottie shooting 64 on Sunday. It was, we are here to break it all down for you. The first major of the year delivers once again. So, T-Bone, like you said, it's been a minute. So glad to be back. T-Bone, you're a married man now. That's part of the reason why we took a little bit of a break. We had a little lead up to the wedding. T-Bone got married. Congratulations, my friend. How is married life treating you a couple weeks
ago? Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Doing good. Still married. So that's always good. And I'm hoping I can still play golf. But based off of what I've seen from you, that's not necessarily the case. But
you just got to wait until you have kids. Having kids is the game changer.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Yeah. You're still fine.
Okay. That's good to know. But no, life's good. Happy to be back. I got a full dose. First of all, amazing tournament. Like you said, I'm just going to say it as it is. That was fucking awesome. And Liv can kiss my ass. They can't do anything like that. They never can. They never will. It was a badass golf tournament, and I didn't want it to end.
It was awesome,
but no, it was. I think I was a little disappointed going into it that one of the things about the Players is that it has the best field, and that wasn't the case this year. But it didn't matter. It was such a great tournament. I didn't want it to end. I really wanted to see a playoff, but and leading up to, which maybe if we have time we can get into, before coverage even started, I had a bit of a late night, you could say, on Saturday night. Woke up, literally just went straight to the couch, and that's all I did all day. And before coverage started, I think I finished about 3.5 episodes to finish full swing. So I went full swing to Live from the Players and Players coverage the whole day. So it was fantastic. And I'm ready to get on the course, daylight savings, all the things we've been talking about. So I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, dude, that sounds like you're just on full golf overload in that stretch. I mean, yeah, especially those last two episodes of full swing, the whole Ryder Cup thing, that was crazy, which we'll do. We'll probably save that for next week, T-Bone, maybe a recap of full swing, because this is a Players episode. But a little tidbit of that, I thought the production did a great job of making it look like Team USA was close in the Ryder Cup when we just absolutely were not. Not a chance. But hey, real quick on your wedding too, want to give a shout out to the boys who came up and introduced themselves to me. I mean, just it was like we had fans. A lot of your boys from Stratford days and so on, and even the college days. A bunch of Baylor guys. It was a great time. And so your wedding was fantastic. Shout out to everybody who are the loyal listeners. Even had one person come up to me. She was like, I don't listen, but I download every single week. And I was like, I appreciate that. So,
wow, that's dedication. Yes.
But yes, let's talk about the Players Championship. I'm double logoing because I don't care. That's how great this player was. Before we do, follow us on social media. Links in the description below. You know the drill. 5 stars. Shout out to our sponsors also in the description below, Drink a Buddy and Chip Golf, doing stuff with Randall, or I'll sending some stuff. So Chip Golf, big fan, go check him out. I mean, what more can you say about Scottie Scheffler? He comes off a phenomenal win at Bay Hill, the Arnold Palmer Invitational presented by MasterCard. Can't forget that last part. And then he comes into the Players and just comes out hot. I mean, dude, that first day of the Players was awesome. You had Rory McIlroy at the top of the leaderboard, Xander, Scheffler. The big names were showing up at the Players' Championship, and that's what you want. Now, We can talk about Rory if we want to, but he did backtrack, or he just wasn't progressing like he probably should have been as the rounds were, especially after being in the lead for the first day. But I mean, look, this leaderboard at the end here, Scottie Scheffler, Masters champ, just I guess 2 years ago now, but he's a Masters champion. Brian Harman, who's your champion golfer of the year. Xander Schauffele, who's the Olympic gold medalist, current Olympic gold medalist. Wyndham Clark, the current US Open champ. Matt Fitzpatrick, who won the US Open 2 years ago as well. Siwoo Kim, who won the Players not too long ago. Hideki Matsuyama, Ludvig Åberg. Is it Åberg? Or they kept saying like Auberg or something like that. Anyway, Ludvig, who hasn't even played in a major yet. He comes in with a T, well, in eighth place. Siyi Thigala, I mean, dude, this leaderboard was so good. I was on the edge of my seat the entire time.
Damn, I didn't even think about not only how good it was, but just the recency of good play. I mean,
Yeah.
now that you lay it out like that, that's pretty insane.
It was awesome. And then you also had guys like Maverick McNealy, who Maverick McNealy had arguably just as good of a career at Stanford than as Tiger did. And he's had some medical issues, some injuries that he's been battling through. But he's a guy that, when healthy, clearly he finished T9. He can play with the best of them. I mean, dude, it was such a great week for the Players. I really don't know if I can overestimate it. And I know Garza's probably listening to this, be like, oh, you're stroking it for the PGA Tour. Yeah, I am. I am, because this was the best case scenario, I think. So let's talk more
Yeah,
about Scottie
I think
Scheffler.
that,
Sorry, go
yeah.
ahead.
No, I think that's a good segue. He needs he deserves to get his praise. He's insane, and I don't want to say it, but it probably has to be said that I'm trying to be careful here, but it is becoming Tiger-esque. He's not
Wow.
Tiger. I don't think he'll ever probably be. I think the game today is just too, it's too hard to separate. There's too many good players, and I don't think he'll ever get there. But the things he's doing, he's just so much better. And you know, he you at one point you thought he was going to withdraw from the tournament. He putted. He's starting to putt good, which is why he's winning a ton. But I feel like he still missed a lot of putts. And again, you know, his caddy on Saturday or Friday night said, "I don't even think he's going to play the weekend," and just kind of brings his B or C game and hobbles along for a Sunday 64. It's insane.
Yeah, no big deal, right? And still, even that third round, was it? It was the third round. No, it was the second round where he had the neck troubles, which, by the way, the memes that are coming out of him sitting, I think it was on 14T when he's getting the massage or whatever. Again, so funny, dude. He still went out and shot 69, which is, I look, it's
I
unbelievable.
was gonna
And
say on
then,
that, you saw him on that day. There was one hole where he's like, I think he was hitting an 8 iron from like 150. And I
right.
think he was just like in so much pain, he was just like trying to get the ball there. And I mean, to still win this tournament is fucking insane.
It is. It is. And if there's any one gripe that I have with this week, is that the scores were too low, in my opinion. Because, but honestly, though, I think it's a testament to how good these guys are. Now, I know the greens were receptive, they were soft. So that's part of the reason why these guys were able to go after pins, hold it in certain areas where maybe there should have been runoffs. Like on 17, I was actually on Twitter, and golf Twitter was hilarious. They were like, shave the collars, because like the collar was kind of the rough was growing up and was stopping a lot of the balls from going in the water when maybe they would have gone in the water in the past. But the scores being low was my only gripe. I would like to see the winner probably closer to 10 to 12 under. But look, that's super nitpicky, and I recognize that. That's just me being kind of a snob about it. But again, it goes back to how good these guys are, because that golf course is so hard. I've been fortunate to play that course many times, and I get my teeth kicked in every single time. Every single time. It is so demanding. They talk about it a lot, actually, of how demanding it is. If you lose your focus on one hole, you can end up with the double or triple pretty quick. And we saw that in some cases for a few of the guys. But they just make that golf course look so easy, and it is not. That golf course is every bit as tough, in my opinion. Pete, I think Brandel Chamblee on Live From called it Pete Dye's gift to golf, and I truly believe that it is. That golf course is unbelievably great.
I've one thing I've actually heard about that course that maybe you can back me up on. I've heard that you'll weirdly find yourself hitting a ton of like 40, 50 to 80-yard bunker shots.
Yeah, 100%.
And you're just like the hardest shot in golf. And you
And
don't see them do that
the
a ton, but
bunkers
when
are
you
like this
watch,
big.
yeah,
The
they're just
bunkers
like
are
lined
tiny.
the whole, yeah. And then there's just like, it seems like there's so many bunkers that are just like lined throughout the entire hole. But I always thought that was interesting with that course. But yeah, I mean, just the finish with a lead in that much water and that much trouble, I mean, it does not look fun.
No, it is pretty tough. And yeah, that finish does, especially that back nine, it's similar in Augusta in the same way how it can create excitement. And sometimes it could be manufactured, but that's how it's designed. You really starting with 11 being a par five, 12 being that drivable par four, which Scotty did drive on Sunday. And then 13 is a pretty gettable par three if you hit your iron in the right spot. 14 and 15 are just kind of stay alive type holes, but 16 and 17, just there's a reason why it's called the stadium course. The way that it's built, it is just, it's amazing, and it creates that excitement. We always look forward to the Island Green, and the way that Scotty was able to shoot 64 on Sunday was just so good. Starting off with that hole out eagle on number four, that really kickstarted his round. It comes out with par. Probably a disappointing par on two. That's a pretty gettable birdie, I would say, for those guys. But then birdieing 8, 9, we talked about 11 and 12, and then 16. He really just took care of business, went bogey free, was able to stay away from some major trouble, hitting fairways, because that rough, dude, was thick. That rough was crazy thick. And then, I mean, really, in my opinion, when he birdied 8, that's when I was like, okay, he's got a shot here to make that run, because he started so far back. I mean, he started off what, 4 shots or so behind the leaders? That's a tall mountain to climb on Sunday. And number 8 is a 240 something yard par 3. And the pin is kind of tucked over a ridge, so hard, and he birdied it, and he made it look easy. And that's the thing with Scotty. He is making the game of golf look so easy. It's so much fun to watch.
And I think we've talked a ton about the putting. Switch putters, went to the mallet, and now we're seeing the results of that. But I think what's crazy is just that he almost withdrew. And this is probably the biggest tour event of the year outside of majors. And he won it hurt, probably without his best stuff. And then just as clutch as can be on Sunday. So I'm thinking about his year. And you've seen, I don't know if you've seen the stats, but it's something like the last 2 years, I think it's 9 wins and 2 or 3 missed cuts. And, he's made fucking millions of dollars. Those stats are always crazy when guys go on runs like this. But I honestly don't know if we've
Yeah.
seen too much of a run like this. But I don't know. What are your predictions for the year now with Scotty? I'm trying not to get too much into the moment, but it's hard
Yeah.
not to after a 64 on Sunday. But I feel like if he, I feel like his goal's got to be multiple majors this year. Like a realistic goal, it's got to be multiple majors.
Yeah, and before I answer that question, I'd be remiss to say he is the first ever back-to-back champion of the Players. That really says something. Again, a testament to the golf course, and as you touched on earlier, a testament to the strength of field, because that was the whole point of the Players. Like, we have the strongest field in golf, and Garza was chirping at me this week and like, blah, blah, blah. But With the LIV guys not being there, is it considered a major? Look, I want to table that here for a sec because we're talking about Scotty. And so, like, would have been different if Rom or Cam Smith, a former players champion himself, was in the mix? I don't know. Maybe. I guess we'll never know. That's the consequences of them jumping over to LIV. But to come back
As
to it,
Kanye says.
yeah, exactly. The real genius, Kanye. Scheffler's expectations have to be high. They just have to be high. I don't know what it is. I mean, is two majors too high? Is three majors too high? I think three might be reaching it a little bit, but look, I don't foresee any reason why he can't go out and win two majors this year, especially now that he's got the putter rocking. Because especially at a course like Augusta National, you got to be putting well. That was the story last year. He hit the ball incredible, but just couldn't make anything inside 10 feet, it seemed like. So, if he's got that putter rocking, he's tough to beat. He is so tough to beat because his ball striking is so good. And it's crazy because, he reminded me of Ho Sung Choi with those follow-throughs that he was having, those ridiculous follow-throughs, slipping, sliding all over the place. Even with that pine straw, I'm just like, dude, like, this guy is unbelievable. It's next level.
Doesn't make sense,
I mean, he's
but
definitely the betting favorite for the Masters. Like, there's just no doubt about it. Now, how he plays at the British Open, the US Open, because they change venues every single year. Oh, gosh, we did our US Open one. I forget where the US Open is this year off the top of my head.
I kind of want to say Pinehurst.
It's Pinehurst. Yeah, Pinehurst. Look, I mean, he could go out there and just ball out at Pinehurst. I don't know. But I think he at least gets one this year. I think one is a good target, good year for Scheffler.
And I would say bad year if he doesn't win one.
Yeah.
Maybe
Well, he's
not
already
bad
won one.
year,
He won the
but
Players.
very. That's true. That's true. Who
Know. What do
should
you
we
think?
talk about next? Wyndham?
Yeah, let's talk about Wyndham. So I sent out a tweet earlier on Saturday. So Wyndham birdied his first hole on Saturday, and I think he was up by like four or five. And I was like, he could run away with this thing in the same way that Webb Simpson ran away with it in 2018. And I was like, I want this to be an awesome Players, but if Wyndham runs away with it, like that could be not interesting. Like kind of like how Webb's was. It was just like the guy was unbelievable. It's just okay, cool. Like he's doing his thing. I don't really want to watch. I don't like looking at Webb's scorecard. So he shot 65, 65, 70, 69. It's not like he backtracked per se. You know what I mean? Like he was still shooting under par. He was still moving up that leaderboard. Now, he was really far behind. With three, he was what, three down with three to play, but then he birdies 16, birdies 17, kind of what we were saying, that excitement that those holes can allow for. And then I just got to say, that putt on 18 ripped my heart out. Oh, it just ripped my heart out. Are you kidding me? That was absolutely diabolical. The golf gods were horrible to Wyndham. Oh man, I couldn't believe that didn't go in.
Yeah, I just texted a bunch of people after and just said fuck golf. I wasn't necessarily cheering for him or Scotty, but I just wanted more golf. I was like, this is too good of a tournament for it to end. Can we get Scotty, Xander, even Brian Harman had a look at it. I was hoping at least one, maybe two of those guys could have gotten in like a three-man playoff. That would have been awesome, but
Yeah.
best man won. I think Wyndham, I think it was opened up with two like 65s or something to
Yep.
start the tournament. He is it's almost like the US Open felt a little random. But I think we all knew he had game, and now it's really starting to show. Fucking crushes the ball. And this isn't really a bomber's course, I would say. And the fact that he played this well, I think it's shown that his his game can perform well in a lot of different places. So I think he's going to be someone to watch out for, and especially missing some guys like Rahm. I think there's kind of an opportunity for like a second best golfer right now behind Scotty, and he's someone to at least consider, or at least
Yeah,
emulate.
I saw a couple takes that were like, is Wyndham the new Brooks? Does he only play well in the big tournaments? And I'm like, I don't know about that one. Let's pump the brakes on those types of takes. But yes, there's absolutely no doubt about his talent. Look, he was the Big 12 Player of the Year at Oklahoma State, and then transferred to Oregon, was the Pac-12 Player of the Year. We've known about Wyndham for a long time, especially because of our friend your boy. Shout out to your boy. And Valor High represent, right? So we've known about Wyndham for a while. We knew what he was capable of. One thing that they talked a lot about on the broadcast, as well as Full Swing, was his mental game, working with his mental coach, getting together with her last year, and then continuing that relationship this year. I really think that has done wonders for his game, because I remember we saw him in the mix. Maybe it was the Honda Classic a couple years ago. Was in the final group and then just fizzled out. And that kind of seemed to be the trend for a bit. But now that he's got his mind right, and if he can continue to keep his mind right, I mean, that guy has every bit of talent as anybody out there. He hits it with the best of them off the tee. His iron game, dude, did you see him out of the rough? That, as I'd mentioned, the rough was so thick. And that one shot that he hit on number nine when he got there in two from the rough. Are you kidding me? That's disgusting. That shouldn't be allowed on the golf course. And he made it happen. That's how good he is. His ball striking is second to none. Putting, I think, is good enough to where, man, like he might be one of those guys that's going to rack up wins on the tour. And then hopefully he could potentially walk in his career with, three or four majors, I would say.
Yeah. I think that might be a bit ambitious, but there's still just a lot unknown with him. But
That's
man, he's
true. I
trended in
mean,
the right direction and got the I think there was an interview this week where he said he's never been to the Masters. He never wanted to go until he could play in it, and he got to go play with his family. So I'll be curious. I feel like no one usually does very good in their first Masters, but pretty shocked this is his first Masters also. But
yeah, very surprised to
again,
hear
I
that.
think that the lip out on 18 was gut wrenching. It's why I hate golf. It's why I love golf. Really wanted to see more, but I think he was really impressive all week, and I think he is a very good pick in big tournaments.
Yes, I totally agree. Keep an eye out for Wyndham. Yeah, maybe three or four majors is a bit aggressive on a prediction for me. All right, maybe I'll backtrack that a bit. I think two or three is probably a better ratio. Four is
I guess he's
reaching.
got one. Yeah.
He's got
No.
one. If he
Who
was a
knows?
little younger, like if he has started this run 3 years ago, because he's I think a 30, 31. I mean, that's entering the prime years of golf are generally around that 35, 37 range, actually, which is makes it so impressive to see all these young guys coming out so hot. So, look, I mean, he's entering the prime of his career, and these guys, anybody can win on any certain week, especially if you're playing well, you're seeing the greens well, you're rolling the rock. I think Brian Harman is actually a testament to that. If we want to transition to Brian Harman a little bit. Nobody would have really predicted for him to win the Open Championship last year. But because he's been
No
on
way in
tour for so
hell.
long, right? Yeah. And then he had a halfway decent Ryder Cup, and then he comes out with the Players again this year. Brian Harman, it kind of reminds me of Francesco Molinari a couple years back. Do you remember when he was like the best player in the world for probably
Oh,
like an 18 to 24 month stretch? I feel like we're in
yeah, he
that
was insane.
stretch for Brian Harman.
I like that. I like that comparison. He weirdly has always played really good at the Players. I think he said it's his favorite golf course, favorite place to play. I swear every time I would watch the Players, he's around the leaderboard, at least top 10. But I think that's what made this week really cool. Not only that he was one of the more, I would say, a recent major winner, but being able to see a guy that's like 5'6" versus, Scotty and Wyndham. It's insane. I think that's what makes golf really cool and this course really cool because, it's not a bomber's paradise. There's a lot of maneuvering and a lot of different things going on with TPC Sawgrass. So, man, I just wish it was him. I wish it was Wyndham the most, and then lastly Xander, but no one was able to get it done. But that might be a good transition to Xander. What are your I don't know if I'm disappointed in Xander because I wouldn't say he necessarily blew it, but it wasn't like a total choke job, but it wasn't a killer mentality because I watching that hole back nine, I thought he was going to get it done. And it's just kind of, it seems like he does this kind of a lot in majors and he's been playing really good golf, but sometimes it feels like he just not blows it, but just misses it. And I think, the putt there on 17 was probably his best chance. So I don't know. What do you think about Xander this week?
I'm with you there. It's a very conflicting feeling overall. He did not do himself any disservice by bogeying 14 and 15. He just didn't. Look, I know if 14 is an absolute just kick your teeth in type of hole. And so bogeying 14 is okay with me. 15 is still tough, but he really put himself in a bad position off the tee by the. All right, so he took 3 wood, right? You take 3 wood to make sure you hit the fairway, but then he slices it into the bunker and has a 200-yard bunker shot where he's got to cut it around the like that. That's you're not putting yourself in position to do well. And then he comes back with that birdie on 16. You talked about the putt on 17. Excuse me. Oh man, I early on in that round, I thought he was just he looked solid. And then once that back nine hit, when he didn't birdie 11, the par five, that's when I was like, uh-oh, that's not great. Now he came back with a birdie on 12, which is what you're supposed to do. But I was like, man, if you're not birdieing 11, Scheffler is a few groups ahead of you going and posting a number. After that, he looked kind of shaky to me because on 11, he absolutely hits this piss missile of a drive. Which, by the way, he is sneaky long for not a big guy. And then he has a really, like, for him, an easy iron shot into on a second shot into a green. He's probably sitting like a 5 iron out and he leaves it short into the bunker. It wasn't a good, yeah, but I think underwhelming is the right word because it's not like he blew it. But he did. I don't know. It's a very weird feeling because clearly he can play. As I mentioned, Olympic gold medalist. He's won multiple times on tour, has won the tour championship. Well, I don't know if he's won like the FedEx Cup, but he's won at East Lake on the individual side at least. So, like, he can play in big moments, but he's still looking for that really big individual win slash major. And the Players would have been a great one to put on the resume.
He feels it feels like they're I mean I think the Olympic gold medals not something to balk at. That's a pretty solid achievement. It's not a major, it's probably not even a Players Championship, but it's impressive. I think he's got that killer mentality in there somewhere, but kind of disappointing. But didn't totally blow it. So, no, I loved the finish. I wish we could have gotten some more golf, but seeing all those guys and it till the end was pretty fun. And Liv, again, I don't want to keep talking about them, but they can't have that. They can't set up that kind of tournament.
No.
The Players is so fun. I think, we've talked a little bit about just the how the stadium golf, how it ends, it just sets up for some great finishes.
It really does. Like I saw a couple tweets that were like, man, I wonder what Jon Rahm is thinking right now when he's sitting on his couch. Like, do you think he's wishing to be out there?
Oh my God. And I was thinking about him, and I was thinking about Cam Smith lives like down the street.
Yeah, he lives in Jacks Beach.
And he won it a few years ago. I mean, that's gotta be killer for these guys who are competitors. I mean, like, who've won this tournament before. Man, you forfeited that for team golf, and
I
maybe
mean,
they'll play it
everybody's got a
again
price, I
soon. Who
guess.
knows? I mean, who knows? They could play in this next year, in a couple years.
Yes, which that is something I do want to talk about, is the kind of Jay Monahan press conference, as well as the whole PIF thing. Apparently, they were having meetings today about it. But just to put a bow
Or we could
on
do
the
a
players.
quick golf gossip on that. Their words, we'll make it quick before you jump into this, because I think it's a good segue. Reports of Tiger Woods in the Bahamas playing golf with Yasser, to discuss who the hell knows what. But man, those are some powerful people getting together, to, I'm sure, discuss some very, very interesting things about the game of golf. But we'll have to continue to monitor the situation, because that could get wild. It could get
Yeah,
wild.
the whole landscape on professional golf could look very different this time next year. Now, when these tours, because I think the idea is that they'll merge, right? They just need to get over some certain points and then during the negotiation processes. But yeah, that's a big moment right there. Yasser playing with Tiger, as well as I think the other player advisory board was meeting down in the Bahamas. You see the jet tracker online, seeing all these planes flying out of Ponte Vedra to down the Bahamas. It's like, interesting. So yeah, I saw one tweet, I think it was from Dan Rappaport, that was like, yeah, this meeting should have happened like 4 years ago, before all this, whenever LIV was starting to be a thing. But yeah, it's definitely something to keep an eye on. But yeah, just to put a bow on the Players' Championship, then we can talk a bit more about Monahan, Rory, some of the comments that they made. Phenomenal week. Again, this was probably like best case scenario. The only thing that could have made it better was Rory McIlroy being in the mix. And we touched on that at the beginning. Was in the lead after day one and then just fizzled out. I don't really know who else to say. It was mistake here, mistake there, missed putt here, and bad chip there. And that first round, when by the way, the drop controversies were hilarious to me. Oh, he rope hooked it in the water on 18, does it again on I think it was 7 in the water. Like, where do I drop? Did it cross? Did it not cross? Like that. Where did it cross? Golf Twitter was outrageous. So funny.
Yeah, that
It
was
was a great
awesome.
thing to be a part of. But yeah, it was those types of mistakes that he was able to overcome on day one that he wasn't able to overcome the rest of the week, in my opinion. And that was really the only thing that could have made the week better was Rory McIlroy being in the mix. And it sucks that he wasn't, but that's golf sometimes.
I got so excited. 10 birdies on Thursday, and shoots what, 60, 65?
Think so.
And there was a glimpses of hope, and everyone is cheering for him, and it's just a little concerning.
Yeah, the problem was on the second round, he fired one over 73 when Wyndham comes out shooting 65-65. I mean, that's an 8-shot swing between McIlroy and Wyndham right there. That's so hard to overcome just mentally and be like, man, I was right there. Now I'm 8 behind the leaders. Then you're probably thinking, man, I might have to go 65-65 again on the weekend, and you're putting yourself
And
in a
I
really
think
tough spot after that.
he normally kind of does that, has that those backdoor top 10 finishes in majors, but today, or this year, I think it was what, like 20th or something. So just
Yeah,
pretty
T19.
disappointing after that start.
Right. No, I agree. But again, phenomenal week for the players. Congratulations to Scottie Scheffler. It was great. Back-to-back Players Champion. he's going to be a father here in the next month or so, which is like, that's going to turn your life upside down. Then you got that's right, probably
And he
win
won't be able to
Augusta.
play anymore.
Yeah, and then he can't play anymore. He's got to retire. That's the rules. That's maybe just for the amateur golfer, the weekend warriors. But it was a great week. Loved it. Loved every single minute of it. I was actually sick this week, T-Bone, so I was lying in bed most of the week, and so I just dove into the players' content. I was like, I'm here for it. I
That's
watched pretty much every
fantastic.
press conference. It was great.
I love that. I did that yesterday. I got my fix. I'm ready to get out there.
Perfect. Perfect. Me too. All right, T-Bone. A couple more things before we wrap it up here. I was touching on it earlier. Jay Monahan. Jay Monahan, this is the first time that he spoke publicly, really, in the last few months. He's been under, or he's feel like he's been living under a rock, or very much quiet behind the scenes. Gosh, you could really say since the announcement that the LIV or the PIF and the PGA Tour were going to make their announcements, or that they were going to merge. He's on CNBC with Yasser in front of Andrew Sorkin, and it's the whole thing, whole shebang. And then nothing's really happened since then. So he gave his first press conference since then. He took a lot of questions from the media, to his credit, and a lot of the questions were about the merger. We were talking about earlier how golf could look very different this time next year. Will LIV guys be welcome back on the tour? I'm sure these are some of the negotiation points that he wasn't able to talk about. But I don't know, a lot. And then a lot of the players are chiming in on Monahan. Is he the right guy for the job? Can he lead us forward? Rory McIlroy had an opinion. Cantlay, Xander had a very different opinion than others. Very interesting week. For the flagship event of the PGA Tour, for the commissioner to finally, for lack of a better term, come out of hiding. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on the whole Monahan players chiming in? That whole thing?
I think Rory was pretty much like he's still the right guy for the job. I think Xander was like, trust is a valuable thing, and when you break it, it's hard to get back, something along those lines. So I think guys are pretty much, this is normally a scenario in any other sport and any other situation, you're not talking shit about your commissioner. But that's just with how crazy things have gone, that's what's happening in golf. And what's still so crazy to me is there's so much talk about this merger and all these things, but no one knows what that means. Like, what does that mean? Is it,
That's a
like
great
you said, is
question.
it, are they going to play on PGA Tour events? Are the PGA Tour players going to have to make teams to play team golf? I mean, there is so much uncertainty and no one knows anything. And it's kind of annoying because we've been talking about it for like approaching a year about a merger and no one really knows what that means. So I want to say there's a deadline maybe in the coming weeks for something to happen. So
Yeah.
I don't know. I just truly don't know what this merger means.
Yeah, I think in the last year, Monahan has had some major blunders. Major blunders. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. Some huge F-ups. And so one thing I think he did do right was getting that big investment. I think it was from from that sports group. Is it ESG Sports Group? I think.
It's like the Arthur Blank and, other like NFL, NBA founders, something like that.
Yeah, that was a big win. That was a big win for him. Kind of beef up the war chest, if you will. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. And that's the thing. Nobody does. Not even the players know. There's a select few people. And honestly, I gotta go back to when the merger was announced, and they talked a lot about this on Live, or on not on Live, on Full Swing. All the players were like, "What the heck?" We found out the same time as the public did. That is still just kind of in the back of my mind of there's something going on here, and maybe progress is being made, but we don't know. And that's the problem, is that it's not that we don't know, it's that even the players don't know. It's very behind closed doors. And I think that's why this meeting that's going on down in the Bahamas, supposedly, is huge. Because this is the first time where kind of people are like, all right, it looks like moves are finally being made. That's a win. I think the golfers and everybody are just tired of talking about it at this point. And I don't blame them.
No, it's a lot of speculation and just unknown future of what's going to happen to golf. So, I think everyone hates Jay for the most part, and he was, I'll give him some credit, he was put in like an absolutely terrible situation. It
Agreed.
felt like no matter what was going to happen, like, LIV was going to recruit players. Should he have been more proactive with that transition? Probably, but he didn't. And then he came back. Like you said, just it was the crazy. It was, I think it's truly some of the biggest sports news I think I've ever gotten. Like, I remember where I was when I got that news. I remember that, with other big thing, like when Kobe passed away, I remember where I was. And this isn't as sensitive as that, but it just felt that impactful to me when I got that news. And the fact that I still don't really know what it means is just equally as wild. But I think he's, I don't know. I don't really know what to think anymore, but I'm excited to see what happens.
I think Rory McIlroy had some really interesting comments, especially as somebody who was on the inside, but he's taken a step back on his player advisory role. He said that he felt like that LIV wasn't necessarily representing the views of the PIF very well. So it was like PGA Tour is having conversations with LIV, who thought was representing the views of the PIF, but like maybe the PIF has different goals than LIV. I thought that was pretty interesting. And so that's why I'm glad they're finally like talking together to be like, hey, maybe we do have more shared common goals than we think. So
That's
that was a good
interesting.
point. And the other point that Rory said was that at least because it's all about a lot of players have talked about it, but the fans, us fans, you, the fans, the listeners, we felt like we've been put through the ringer this year, almost having to choose sides between PGA Tour and LIV. That's a disservice to the fans, and everybody's talking about the product on the course needs to be great, and it's for the fans, it's for the fans. But nothing that's happened in golf in the last 2 years has felt like it's been for the fans. And so I think if they can kind of refocus on that, and I think that's what they're trying to do, and that's part of the reason why the players was such a great week, because it felt like the fans were finally served in the way that they wanted to be served. And hopefully they can come to an agreement that really just kind of makes the fans happy, because at the end of the day, your fans are your customers. So, but the other part to your point, what made the players awesome was, and in general, kind of what we're talking about, the product, at least TV wise, was the lack of commercials, which was great. I'm fully aware that Justin Rose works for Morgan Stanley now, so that's we can. Seeing those commercials on repeat, Comcast Business with Colin Morikawa, whatnot. Okay, I'm with you. That was hammered home to me. I'm with you, but it was lack of commercials. It felt more important. We got to see a ton of golf, and and I want to show love to these guys. Live from the players was amazing. Say what you want about Brandel or whatnot, but like, dude, that guy loves the game, and he can and does provide a lot of great insight into the golf course, the players, great analysis, in my opinion. And the whole rest of the team at Live from the Players was amazing. Johnson Wagner, though, stole the show, in my opinion. After the first day, he's out there reenacting. Where did it cross? He was like, all right, I'm here. And he's throwing golf balls into the side of the hill to see if you could see the bounce on the camera. It was so great. And then the next day, he's out there again reenacting another Rory McIlroy shot, and he just hits it straight into the water. Johnson Wagner stole the show, in my opinion, this week. And I just want to show some love to Live from the Players. Those guys were great. They really helped build, I think, the product, the anticipation, the recaps, everything that helped make this Players really special.
Dang, I didn't get to watch much of it, but I heard really good things. But damn, Scotty T, do you know what just got me really excited? Just hearing live from,
Tell me.
you know where we're headed next? Live from the Masters.
Oh, play the
It's
song, man.
lurking. It's lurking.
We are right around the corner from the Masters. Let's see. Let's look at the PGA Tour schedule here, real quick. They are going to the Valspar. And then 2 weeks after that, you have the Houston Open. Shout out to the Houston Open. It should be some great. Hopefully, we'll be able to provide some coverage from the ground for the Houston Open. And then it's the Valero Texas Open, and then it is the Masters. We are 4 weeks away from the Masters, my friend.
Fantastic.
It's going to be great. And it's going to be the first time that since the Open that all the players are back playing together again. It's the first tournament that we're going to see John Rahm, kind of be back with his home, with his old PGA Tour buddies. That'll be interesting. He's going to be hosting the dinner too. I'm excited to see the menu, to see what he comes up with. Probably some good Spanish, some Spanish dishes. It'll be great, dude. The Masters is its own special thing, and we're so close to it. Golf season is officially here. We have sprung forward with the time. The Players Championship has commenced. Scottie Scheffler is still the number one player in the world. Don't care what anybody says. Scottie Scheffler is the number one player in the world. We are back. Golf season is in full force right now. Full swing just dropped. We'll do our preview next week. And it's gonna be great, dude. This is a great time for golf.
Fantastic.
Boom.
Love
T-Bone, is there anything else you'd like to add? I think that wraps up our 2024 players or recap.
No, I think that was a good episode. Good to get back into the swing of things. Maybe we do a little full swing recap next week, and then yeah, we'll probably be on the grounds at the old Memorial Park. I'm not gonna lie, I almost said Golf Club of Houston. That's June. That's June for Liv.
That's June for Liv. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, but
Which,
we're in full swing. We'll review full swing. I'm ready to hit a full swing. Let's go.
hey, T-Bone, you want to go out to East River Nine on Sunday?
I can probably swing that.
Come on. All right. We'll talk offline.
Sweet.
Awesome. I think that's all I got, man. Again, congratulations to Scottie Scheffler, the first ever back-to-back winner of the Players' Championship. Electric week, absolutely delivered. I'm so excited for this year, man. This got me hype. I'm almost done with school, so that'll be great. But then I got a baby on the way, so I don't know what it's gonna see. But hopefully, we'll get out to the golf course here shortly. Actually, I got Scotland to look forward to
Hell
in May.
yes.
So there, I'll be playing at least one week
Damn, that's
at
awesome.
this year.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yes, well, go follow us on our social media channels. Links in the description below. We are at 3 Under Par Pod, the number 3 Under Par Pod everywhere on social media. Leave us a comment below. What did you think of Scottie Scheffler winning this week and other thoughts from the Players' Championship? Go check out Chip Golf as well as Drinking Buddy. Promo codes are in the description as well. T-Bone, anything from the Paisley House?
Go see Joni at Paisley House. All your interior design needs, furniture, all that good stuff. Go see Joni. Tell her 300 sent you.
Boom. There we go. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate you, the listenership. We hope you enjoyed this week as much as we did because we were geeking out the whole time about it for probably an hour or so. We'll see what the official runtime is. But I'll break it up into chapters, and hopefully you can listen along and, again, comment below, share with your thoughts. Phenomenal week. I'm loving it. Golf season is in full effect. We'll be back hopefully next week. If not, we'll send out when we'll be back on our social media channels, which is why you gotta go follow. That wraps it up. I'm Scotty T for T-Bone, and remember,
little white ball's life.